Well, I have the joy and honor of introducing Vladimir Pickman, who is with us this morning. Vladimir serves as the Director of Jewish Studies, Adjunct Professor in Missiology and Intercultural Ministries at Dallas Theological Seminary, where he also earned his Master's of Theology degree. He is founding Executive Director of Beit Shear Shalom in Germany. He was also the founding President of the German Messianic Jewish Alliance and is the Vice President of the International Messianic Jewish Alliance. He serves with Chosen People Global Ministries by coordinating the ministry in Western and Eastern Europe. And his most recent endeavors include starting a Jewish studies program at DTS. He resides in Berlin with his wife, Ina. Ina also teaches Hebrew and Greek at Feinberg Institute in New York, as well as being an adjunct professor at DTS. They have two daughters, Rose, who is studying at the University of Chicago, and Elizabeth, who lives in Madison with her husband, Sam. Vladimir and his wife are both Ukraine. His wife still has family that remains in the Ukraine, and they have many brothers and sisters and friends in Christ there as well. These recent global events have taken a personal toll on them. RBC has supported Vladimir for many years, and it has been a long time since we have heard from him. Please join me in welcoming our brother in Christ, Vladimir.
Shalom. It's great to be with you. 2 years, almost 2 years, I was not able to travel due to COVID. Now I can see you again. And I'm so happy that I can spend several hours with you, actually, at the class before the service, now, and also we're going to share meal afterwards, at least with some of you. And the table fellowship, it's actually the best type of fellowship. Anyway, so thank you for praying for us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for keeping regularly in touch with us. It's so great to hear from you. It's very encouraging that, as you might probably know from the prayer letters that we're sending, the COVID season was very hard on us, on me particularly, because I was very limited in the scope of my ministry. My global ministry became a screen ministry, you know, in front of computer doing all the Zoom and online conferencing, what is good for teaching, but it's not real relationship, it's not building relationships, it's not like real fellowship. We're still not able to eat online, you know, with each other. Besides, well, we can eat, but it's not the same, right? So it was very tough season. I tried to do the best I could. Thank you for praying for me to survive that season. The Thursday last week, COVID stopped. I mean, at least no more news. Because overnight, we woke up not just to the war in Ukraine, but also to the post-COVID season in media. Now, in Germany, nobody talks about COVID any longer, but about the war in Ukraine, because it impacts us in Europe now more than anything else. In our congregation and in our ministry, many people are directly affected because they have family and friends in Ukraine, including children and parents and other relatives. Our family is directly affected by that because, as it was mentioned, Ina, my wife, still has some relatives there. And this morning, before coming to the church, we were on the phone discussing how we can bring her uncle out of Kyiv just into the safety, because it's getting tougher and tougher there. And besides, we are getting a wave of refugees in Europe. refugees from the Ukraine, and not just it's not just a wave, it's a tsunami, because more than a million left just between 6 days. We are expecting a number, several millions refugees coming, and it reshaped our ministry instantly. As I woke up in the morning on Thursday, the last week, I knew that we got to do something with that. So we called emergency meeting of our staff. We have staff all over the country, so it was in Zoom again. But we formed a crisis response team, and we started preparing the foundation for help and for receiving refugees. We sent an email, like email newsletter, emergency newsletter to everybody on our mailing list, like ministry mailing list in Germany and in Europe, and started immediately creating a database of those who are offering their help, be it with lodging or with humanitarian aid, with transportation, or with anything, even financial aid. The list of individuals, organizations, churches. We were overwhelmed by the response. The list was getting longer and longer over a couple of days, and the team is working with this list, and also we contacted the congregations, organizations, and churches in Ukraine, telling that if you need some help, let us know. So right now, we have a list of different organizations and the individuals, not just in Germany, but also in Poland, in Hungary, in countries that are even not bordering directly with Ukraine, like Finland, Greece, and Bulgaria, but people are willing to help, and churches and organizations are willing to help. And then we have requests coming our way, and we connect them. And our team is in Germany. I mean, our ministry, we have only like 50 people on our staff. It's too big of a task for us. But by connecting others like this, we could help already thousands of people, and I feel blessed that we can do it. And I'm very proud these days, in a good sense. I'm very proud to be an European, because I'm just so astounded to see the willingness of people in Europe, and particularly in my case in Germany and in Poland, to help the refugees. Can you imagine? It's not that only Christians do that. Just normal, regular, secular, atheistic Germans, Germans, they take their car from Germany, drive throughout the entire Poland to the border with Ukraine, take the people there from the border and bring them there back to stay with them in their house. I was just like, wow. And I think that God is at work there, in that all. I'm going when we talk after the service, I'm going to tell you more about Ukraine and how particularly you could pray for that situation. How you can pray for us. I did a Zoom conference call and a week ago. And I mentioned that also some things there. I could send you a link. It's recorded. It's on YouTube, so you could watch. If you want to support these efforts, I can also give you a link how to contribute to this directly. Well, don't expect necessary tax-deductible receipt, but this help will get to those in Ukraine and to the refugees in a fast and direct way, because if The link that I will give you, it's in Germany. So we distribute it from there. It's legitimate link. It's not like private link. It's a link of our ministry. But German tax deductible receipt would not help you here in the United States much. Anyway, it's a very challenging time. And when I think about all this, what's going on there and our ministry at the moment, I think of one passage from the Gospel of Matthew. The passage that I want to read with you this morning. And it's Matthew chapter 25. And I'm pretty sure that this passage is very well familiar to many of you. So Matthew 25. In the Bible translation that I got from the pew, it's the Holy Bible English Standard Version. If you don't like this translation, blame it on what is there in your seat. Here, the section that I'm going to read is entitled The Final Judgment. When I read this passage, actually, I'm so happy, I'm so glad and so thankful to God that I'm saved not by works, but by grace. I'm so grateful and I'm so grateful that I'm not going to be on that judgment. That Yeshua, Jesus, said that the one who believes in me is not coming to the judgment. We are saved, we are rescued, and it's not because of our works, but because of grace, the grace of God. And I'm just absolutely happy about that. So this passage that I'm reading right now, it's about the judgment that I'm not going to experience because of Jesus. But at the same time, there is a teaching in this passage. The teaching that helps us to understand how to follow Jesus in a better and more proper way. Okay? So don't, when we read this passage, don't get scared. Get educated, okay? Get encouraged. Okay. Matthew chapter 25, I read from verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And this will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's a very tough passage. Very hard words. Again, when I read it, especially the last verse that says, and those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life, I just praising God for the words of Yeshua, Jesus, that I'm going to have the eternal life in Him. The kingdom is granted to me by the blood of Jesus, by His substitutional sacrifice, by His death and His resurrection. What I didn't do to others, what Jesus mentioned here, He did. He has done. He is the one who is helping, who is caring, who is visiting, who is ministering. And in Him, I'm just like, it's imparted in me. I mean, I do it in Him. But again, while having the eternal life in Jesus, I'm still to learn something from this passage, even for me. We talk about ministering to God and worshiping Him and glorifying and living for Jesus. So I want to live for God. I want to live for Jesus. Is it not our desire? I believe it is. And we deal with this question on a regular basis. What does it mean? For many people, it's just coming to a church on Sunday. I'm sitting there or here on Sunday morning. I participate in nice worship. I listen to not a bad sermon. And that's what I need. And that's my worship service. It's so easy to forget that our worship service and our ministry is not just Sunday morning, but it's also Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening and Monday and Tuesday and so forth. It's 24/7. It's like the Apostle Paul was writing, whatever I do, wherever I am, I'm just in ministry. I'm glorifying God. I do it for Him. It's what's the Torah, what the Bible says, even in the Old Testament. Teach these words when you lie down and when you stand up, when you walk and when you sit, when you eat and when you, whatever you do. Remember the words. Teach the words. Do what Jesus would. And here particularly, it's about doing something for Jesus by doing something for others. It blows my mind to understand that we can serve Jesus by serving other people. By helping others, we are helping Jesus. Does Jesus need food? Yes and no. Can God be hungry? No, but yes. He is hungry when the people are hungry. God can be sick when people are sick. At least that's the way I understand the words of Jesus here. When we see people struggle, Jesus struggles. God is in pain when people are in pain. The God of Israel, the creator of the universe, he is not separated from us so much to not care about our struggle. When I try to explain the Jewish people where was God during the Holocaust, my answer is, he was there in the concentration camp. He was there at the gas chamber. It was the suffering and tragedy of God, because he is the God of the compassion. The Bible says that Jesus took on himself not just our sin, but our punishment, our curse. He became a curse for us. He took on himself everything bad what we could and should experience. That's why in the book of Hebrews is written that he can have compassion because he went through our troubles. So God is suffering with the people. And by helping other people in their needs, we are helping God. We are helping Jesus. We can serve God by singing worship. We can serve God by teaching. We can serve God by reading the Bible. We can serve God by any type of prayer, by evangelism, by many different things. But there is a particular way of worship service and worship and serving God and serving Jesus through serving others. And sometimes we think that it's just something very big. I mean, if somebody, well, somebody needs food, I will give him food or her. Yes. But I would say it's even more. We don't need to go far or travel far. We don't need to necessarily see hungry or struggling people in order to serve Jesus. You can smile to Jesus by smiling to somebody. Somebody you meet on the street. Just smiling to people. It makes your life better. It makes probably the lives of others better. We can help others by just smiling to them or telling them something nice and something good, something encouraging. When you encourage others, you encourage Jesus. I believe it's very logical from what I just read. Last night, I was eating out, and I thought about how, and you know how it works this day. They bring you a tablet, and there is a possibility to sign, but before you push the tip, how many percent I want to give. And I just like, I can do something good to this person right now, and I push the highest tip percentage. Normally, I'm not doing that. I'm too cheap sometimes. But it's just. But last night I was just like, I can do something good to Jesus by giving more tip. I'm giving that. I'm telling that just as an example. If we feel that we need to do something for Jesus, we should get up off the chair and go somewhere and just smile to people, talk to people, tell them something nice, tell them something about the love of Jesus. Yesterday, I was just like tired and exhausted, you know. And there was like, I was, I was in a group of other Christians, and one lady said, oh, you have a nice shirt. You have a good taste. And I just like, nice. Well, the lady was much older than I am, and so there was nothing strange in what she said, but it made next 5 or 10 minutes of my life better. So easy. We don't need to just necessarily work. Well, if there is hungry, we are to help. If there is somebody needs clothes, we are to help. If somebody needs our support, we are to help. If we need to invite somebody to stay with us because somebody is sleeping outside or just like refugees in Europe, yes, we must do that. But if there is no such opportunity at the moment, get to the phone, minister to people. Get to your smartphone, write something to the other. You know, I was a student at the seminary. I was years ago. There was a season in my life I was almost there to quit. I'm not going to tell you why, but it would take much time. But I was like, I came back to my apartment one day, just feeling that I'm just quitting the seminary and leaving. As I entered my home, the apartment, my phone rang. At that time, I had still, not smart, well, smartphone as well, but there was like phone connected with a wire to the wall, you know? Do you remember these times? Yeah, right. So that phone rang, and I got to the phone, and there was somebody who saw me in class. He happened to be my professor, actually, in that class. And he asked me, what is wrong with you? How did he notice? I have no idea. But that conversation helped me to fit just one conversation. Like 5 minutes conversation helped me to stay at the seminary and graduate from the seminary. Let's pay attention to the needs of others. We had sometimes so much concentrated on ourselves. Just on our needs, on our frustrations, on our troubles, on our joy even. Just elevate, lift your eyes, and even mind, the eyes of your mind, of our mind, we should lift it from ourselves and look at others, at the needs of others. And we will see things where we can help. We will see hungry people, people who need our hospitality. We will see people who need a nice word said by us. We will see people who need our smile. And we will get many chances to get this world a better place for those people around us. And by doing that, we will make Jesus happier. We will help Jesus. And it's so easy. At the same time, it can cost us a lot. Helping others can be pricey, can be difficult. It doesn't matter how old or how young we are. It doesn't matter what health condition we have. It's just what matters. Do we want to help Jesus by helping others? I'm so happy, I'm so glad, I'm so grateful that I have the eternal life because of the grace of God. I'm so thankful that I'm not coming to this eternal judgment. And I'm so grateful that there are these words of Jesus. And I'm so glad that I can do something for him. By praying, by saying, by helping, by smiling. I appreciate your church. You did so much good for us. You have done, not did, like it stopped. You are still doing. You serve Jesus by serving us. And it's my little token. I'm trying to do something for you. When I write my prayer letters, I usually say, we are together in all this. You are ministering there with us. You are helping the refugees now from Ukraine, because we are together there. I'm so thrilled that we can do something for Jesus by doing good to others. There is a heavenly connection that logically it's difficult to understand. You are here, we are there, but you make an impact there as well. Praise God. The last thought about this passage. I'm coming into his kingdom, and I'm not coming to his judgment because of the grace. But many people are still in danger. Let's share the gospel. The gospel of works, but the gospel of grace, the gospel of forgiveness. Let's care for other people to avoid this final judgment. And let's care for other people to follow Jesus in the way of helping him and making this world a better place, till he will return back and make this world a perfect place. May God bless you. Shalom.